beginning at verse 16. If you need a Bible, lift up your hand and someone will bring a Bible unto you. We got the youth typers over here. Got a few here that need Bibles. Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. Thank you, sir. We got a few youth typers over there, about three of them, I believe, over there that need a Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 16. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sorry, where am I at? Hold on. What did I say? Hold on. No. Let's try 1 Corinthians. Okay. Yeah, that ain't where I want to be there. There we go. 1 Corinthians. I'm just trying to see how sharp y'all are this morning. That's a, just... Jesus, help us, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for all things right now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for, Father, the praise and worship that has went forth, that has prepared the atmosphere for this word to come forth. We thank you for the children, Lord, that have been dedicated this day. And we thank you, Father, for those that came to the altar, Lord, and wanted to renew their love, Father, for you and the love that you have for them, Lord. I thank you for all of this, Lord. Now, Father, we ask that this word would be heard with clarity, that it would penetrate the hearts of us, your people, Lord, and that how we will be more than just hearers of the word, but we will be doers also. That is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let everyone say amen and amen. I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning as we read the word. We're going to jump right in here. Are you at 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter 9, verse 16? Are you there? Amen. We're going to read through verse 18 together here, okay? It says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I what? Preach not the gospel." Somebody say that. Preach not the gospel. Verse 17. Amen. Preach not the gospel. Amen. Verse 17. "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Verse 18. "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Amen. We have been in a series of messages. This is the second message in that series called Soul Winners. Somebody say soul winners. I want you to know, if you are a child of God, you are a soul winner. Amen. And if you're not a soul winner, it's time to get on the soul patrol. Amen. It's time. Amen. What the world needs is Jesus. They need Jesus. And the people that God is going to use to take Jesus to the world are each and every one of us. Those that have recognized and identified that Jesus Christ is my Savior and he is my Lord, and that we are his disciples. We are servants desiring to become sons and daughters. We want to grow up in the things of God. And if you are someone that have recognized that you are a disciple, a servant of the Most High God, I want you to know today that you have been charged, committed, commissioned, amen, to be a soul winner, amen, a soul winner. See, what I understand, someone won me to the Lord, amen, and it was the Holy Spirit that drew me, but somebody shared the gospel with me, and it was the gospel message, amen, that made me come alive, amen. And it drew me to come to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He became my Savior, and I had to make him my Lord. You hear what I'm saying? See, you can't give lip service and say that he's my Savior and my Lord. See, through your confession of your mouth and belief in your heart, he becomes your Savior. But you got to make him Lord. Amen. You got to say that he is the head of my life. Amen. That's something that you got to consciously do after you are saved. You can't just say he my Lord, because see, your life is going to tell if he is your Lord or not. Oh man, I'm not going to get much help this morning, but we're going to preach this thing anyway. So we've been dealing with soul winners. And what I want to do, I won't go do a passing review, but we got some folks that were with us last week. I promise this is going to be the short version of passing review. Today we're going to talk about soul winners. We're going to deal with, somebody say, preach the gospel. This is the burden. This is the burden of soul winning. Last week we dealt with the business of soul winning. Somebody say the business of soul winning. Do you know what the business of soul winning is? What? Catchers of men. Somebody say catchers of men. See, Jesus Christ, from the beginning of his ministry, or not the beginning of his ministry, but the beginning of his ministries with his disciples, we know what happened. We know that he went out. He took Simon Peter out into the deep. And when he went out there into the deep, he told him to throw down his net. We know the story. I mean, we covered it. Just pass and review. And we know what they done. When he seen that Jesus Christ was in full control of everything, he fell to his knees and said, "Get away from me. I'm a sinful man." And then Jesus Christ said, "No, not from this day forward. You're not going to be a catcher of fish, but you're going to be a catcher of men." Amen. So we talked about last week, before I can catch men, I got to allow him to catch me. Oh, my God. How can I do anything for him until he done caught me? Amen. I think Paul says this way, "I'm going to apprehend that thing which has apprehended me." Amen. So if I'm going to catch me, and he told them, he says, "Now, from this day forward," he says, "follow me." Somebody say, "follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's what he told Simon, James, and John. He told them, he says, "Follow me." And you know what happened? It says, immediately, straightway is the word that King James used. It said they dropped their nets, they left their daddy in the boat, left everything. And what? They followed Jesus. They became his disciple. And we said a piece of this thing here. He says, "Now, follow me." Follow me is voluntary. Somebody say voluntary. So you can get saved, but you still got to follow him. So that's voluntary. Amen. He says, "Follow me." Then he says, "I will make you." Somebody say, "make you." Or make me. See, what he going to make me? He going to make me, somebody say, vessel. So it's voluntary. Then he going to make me a vessel. Then I got to, so if it's voluntary, then he make me a vessel. I got to know what he's going to make me to do. So he says, now follow me. He says, "you follow me." He says, "I will make you what? Fishers of men." So fishers of men has to do with the vocation now. And Paul said, "Walk worthy of what? Your vocation." Amen. And our vocation as men and women of God has gotten saved, amen, is to be a fishers of men. Amen. And so we understand, amen, that first of all, it's voluntarily that we're going to follow him, because he ain't going to make us do anything. Amen. But we must voluntarily follow him. After we voluntarily follow him, now he going to make us. Because you've made up your mind to let him catch you. And now he said, now, if you caught me, now he going to make you. And he going to make you a vessel. Now, what kind of vessel are you going to be made of? The Bible says that in the house of God, amen, that in his house, there's various types of vessels. Vessels of what? Gold, silver, wood, hay, and stubble. But it says, if you would do this, amen, you should be a vessel, amen, of honor unto God. And so we all want to be, somebody say, vessels of honor. So you want to be a vessel of honor, but to be a vessel of honor, you got to be voluntarily. I got to voluntarily come to him. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men." Amen. That's a vessel. Amen. Follow me, and I will make you. That's voluntary, the vessel. Fishers of men. That's my vocation. And so as soul winners, as he wins our soul, because we understand the problem is that I need to get my soul saved. Yeah. That's the word it says. Yeah, it says it this way. It says, if you will humble yourself or present yourself or bring yourself unto God to get the word of God, which is able to save your soul. Amen. I need my soul saved. Amen. Well, what I need to be saved from, Pastor? First of all, you need to be saved from sin. Amen. Sin is missing the mark. Somebody say, "miss the mark." When I sin, I miss the mark. Amen. I've missed the mark. Amen. All of us have lived. The Bible says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have missed the mark. And you live long enough, guess what? You're going to miss it again. Amen. So we've missed the mark. So I need to be saved from sin. The second person I need to be saved from is myself. Some say myself. The Bible says there's no good thing in the flesh. Amen. And so yourself wants to do what it wants to do. That's a part of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. I'm just going to do it the way I want to do it. Amen. Now, you need to be saved from yourself. That's why your soul need to be saved. So I need to be saved from sin, self, and somebody say sickness. Boy, some sick folk, amen, around nowadays, amen. We live in a sick world with sick folk, and I need to be saved from sickness. I need to be protected. I need to be in my right mind. I don't have to, look, I got enough stuff to worry about in my own life, amen, that I got to have somebody keeping the rest of this world in check, amen, for my life. So I need him. I recognize that I need to be saved. And so Jesus Christ said, I'm going to make you fishermen of men, catchers of men. You're not going to catch any fish anymore. I'm going to make you catchers of men. So he caught them. Say, he got to catch me before I catch somebody else for Jesus. See, it's never about us. It's going to always be about him. It's always going to be about Jesus. And that's what we wanted to be. Now, we understood that at the end, before he got crucified, he came back to Galilee, and he met the disciples. He said, come on in here. And that was the Great Commission. This is what he told them. He says, go. Did he not? We talked about that. He says, go. And then he says, make sure you receive. He breathed on them. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. That's go with power. Somebody said, go with power. He says, go with power. And then he says, whoever sins you remit, whoever sins you retain, retain, whatever you do. He says, now go with power and go to what? To deliver. Amen. So when we go, as soul winners, we go, amen. We go with power and we go to deliver. Can I get an amen? So we talked about the business again of soul winning is catching men. Now we ended last week to say this. This is how he catch you. He takes you out to the deep and he shows you what you are dependent upon. And then he shows you that I'm going to deliver you. Amen. And we talked about, I can't get back into that again this week, but you need to go listen to that thing. I'm telling you, whatever. Look, if you have not had your encounter with Jesus yet, he's going to encounter you. He's going to take you out to the deep. Amen. And then he's going to deal with what you're dependent upon. He's going to deal with, yes, sir. He's going to take you out there deep. And then he's going to break you down. Amen. And then he's going to show you and reveal unto you the thing that you're so dependent upon. He's going to show you. Then he's going to say, you're going to see. He's going to show you. He's, I'm your deliverer. Amen. And then you're going to do like everybody else in the Bible did that encountered him. Oh, my God, I'm leaving everything. I'm going with Jesus. Amen. And we don't have time. We don't have time to go back through that. But you, if you didn't listen, if you weren't here and you're a member of this house, you need to listen to that message. Amen. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm patting him on the back. You need to listen to that message, man. But it's the business of soul winning. It's catching men. So today we're dealing with the burden of soul winning. I mean, that is a blessing and a burden in soul winning. That's a blessing to win soul, but it has to be a burden in your life. It has to be a burden. Boy, y'all were singing that song today. He's the God of the city. I'm telling you, man, just tears. My heart broke and just tears come out of me because I know that there's so much more, so much to be done on this city. All you got to do is cut on the news and you'll find out there's so much to do. You know, I be reading this stuff in the newspaper, and then I like to go down into the comments and see how folks are thinking. Boy, we got some twisted folks in this city. That's hatred up in this city. I mean huge hatred up in this city. When they tell them, folks, you need to take them out somewhere and hang them and stuff like that. Read some of those commentaries on some of this violence that's going on, and you look down there. Everybody's solution is take them out back and just shoot them in the head. I'm telling you, it's craziness. There's no love nowhere. There's no love nowhere, no grace, no mercy nowhere. Amen. I believe somebody, look, if you committed the crime, you got to do the time. Amen. That ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm saying, though, is that there has to be love and compassion in somebody's heart. Somebody got to be saying, this is crazy, and this got to be changed. I'm saying, look, I know what most of us say, well, I'm just going to protect my family. Let me tell you something. You need to get out of that mindset, just protecting your family, because the way them fools going on out there, you can protect them only for a little while, but I'm telling you what, look, there's a generation out there that does not know God, and there's getting ready to be a whole nother generation that does not know God. And I'm here to tell you can protect your child as much as you want to, but sooner or later they're gonna run into that alligator. You know what I'm saying? Sooner or later they're gonna run into that world that is out there. And so we got to come up with the mindset that we're gonna change the world, we're gonna change the environment. Amen. I'm not shouldn't be scared to go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I should be able to go anywhere in the city at any time I want to go. But nah, boy, the devil done got us backed in the corner. It's time to come out with soul winning. I'm telling you, folks need to be delivered and set free. I'm telling you, lives need to be changed. I'm not talking about a 12-step program, get them in a circle and all of that. Nah, demons need to be cast. You know what I'm saying? I mean, folks need to experience the love of God. They need to know Jesus for themselves, because the same work that he done on you is the same work that he'll do on them. Amen. And I know most of y'all done had a show enough working over. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know he done come in my life and worked the miracle just in my life. And I know it's the same for each and every one of you. So this is what you got to have. This, it has to become a burden for you. And I'm here to tell you, if you have been saved and filled with his Holy Spirit, and our theme this year is leaning on Jesus. If you're leaning on Jesus, I'm telling you, he is stirring up your spirit to do something that is beyond you. He's stirring up your spirit, amen, to win souls. I'm talking about on your job. I'm talking about, amen, wherever you go, he's going to set you up and use you to win souls. Amen. So every one of you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to resolve the issue right now that you are a soul winner. Say, I am a soul winner for the Lord. Amen. That's all. I just need you to get right there in that attitude, and then we're going to move forward. Amen. So we're going to deal today with the burden of soul winning, and that's to preach the gospel. Somebody say, preach the gospel. Amen. We got to preach it, all of us. It's just not just a preacher up here in the pulpit preaching the gospel. Amen. You, wherever you go, you can make a pulpit. Amen. And you can preach the gospel. You know why they call it pulpit, don't you? It's to pull them out of the pit. This is why the preacher up there, he reaches down to what? Pull them out of the pit. This is the pulpit. That's the only reason. That's what his name, the pulpit. And what I'm saying is, there are people are in pits of life, and they got to be pulled out. And it's just not going to be this preacher. It's going to be all of us that's going to have to go out and pull people out of their situations. The Bible says in Proverbs, I think it's 11 and 30, they quoted it this morning, he that winneth souls is wise. That word winneth is taketh. You got to take these souls. I mean, we got to pull them up out of the pulpit. He that winneth souls is wise. So a soul winner is wise. But he that wins souls must have the wisdom of God to do it. You know what I'm saying? So a soul winner is wise. The Bible says if any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Let him ask of God. So if you're going to be a soul winner, you got to have wisdom to win people to the Lord. You just can't go out there and do it the way. Now, you got to have the wisdom of God. You got to be leaning on Jesus. I'm telling you, to have the wisdom of God to win souls, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be wise soul winners. So we're going to deal with this. Look with us in the text this morning, 2 Corinthians. We say 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. First, I see it right here on my Bible all day long. It's 1 Corinthians. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 here. Now it says, for though I preach the gospel, somebody say, I preach the gospel. It goes on to say, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, what we see here, Paul is expressing his gratitude for preaching the gospel. Somebody say, the gospel is the good news. It's the good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ came, died, and what? Rose again. Amen. For me. Amen. He delivered me and set me free, turned my life around, put me on solid ground. Now I got a pep in my step, a praise in my lips. You hear what I'm saying? I'm excited about what he's done for me and what he's doing for my life. And because of that, I got to let somebody else know about Jesus. You know, most of the world, when the world runs into something good, they want to keep it. But the only way they're going to share it is just to make sure they get more money or whatever. That's going to be their only agenda. You know, some of these quick get rich schemes, that they want to get in touch with you. I want to be your friend. It ain't about no relationship. The relationship is to get you to get in what they got going on so they can get more money. Amen. And the minute that you don't want to get in on it, you see what I'm saying? But this is not what we're talking about. You got to have a burden for people. You got to like them when they don't like you. You got to love the unlovable. I'm telling you, and it takes the Spirit of God on the inside of you to do this. It's just like loving those little babies there. They just land up there. We love them. I'm telling you. But you see, they are a blessing. But somewhere along the way, they're going to become a burden We're going to deal with this today because you got to understand that even they may become a burden, you got to have a burden to continue to raise them in the ways of the Lord. Because look, for you don't know, when your kids get old enough, yes, sir, they going to get on your last nerve. Amen. Hallelujah. Your very last, not just one time, but multiple times. Amen. On your last nerve, amen? And see, what we're going to find out, see, just like there's a burden for preaching the gospel, there's a burden, there's a necessity laid upon you to raise up kids. You need to know this now. I'm trying to make it as plain as I can. Amen. You love them. Oh, cutie pie. Yeah, but boy, they get up to grow and be little Frankenstein. You wonder about, oh my God, what I'm going to do. But there has been a necessity laid up on you to handle them. And guess what? It won't your choice to have them. Oh, yes, sir. No, you think it is. See? No. It won't your choice. It's his choice. He laid that on you. He saw fit to give you who you needed at that particular time for his purposes and his plans that he has in the earth. And he said, look, now I'm going to give you some necessity to go with that. Because there's going to come a time you're going to say, boy, what in the world I got here? What in the world we done made? What in the world we done did here? Huh? But necessity is laid up for me. Somebody say necessity is laid up for me. And this is what Paul is talking about this morning, about that how he is doing this, not so much because he wanted to do it. He's doing it because he's been commissioned to do it. You hear what I'm saying? And what I'm saying to you, soul winning is not a choice. Look, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's your commission to do it. It ain't about making up your mind. Your mind may not be made up, but he done made up his mind. And he said, if you're going to be my vessel, I'm going to make you. Amen. And if I make you, I'll make your mind to go out there to win souls. And so what he'll do in his purpose of transforming you, he'll give you a burden for souls. He'll give you a burden. See, because the burden of soul winning is preaching the gospel. I'm going to show you here. Amen. So we see here, again, Paul is expressing his gratitude for preaching the good news. But he communicates. Look what he says here. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. See, what I want you to understand, he's not doing this for his glory, but he's doing it because of his story. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, my God. He ain't doing it because of, he don't preach the gospel and go win souls for his glory. No, he does it because of his story, his encounter that he had with God. I'm doing this because he took me deep, amen, and he met me on the road of Damascus and knocked me off my high horse. And blinded me, amen, and took me over there to Ananias' house. He said, Ananias, go over there to see him, amen. Ananias, you got to be out of your mind. He was the one persecuting Christians. What you talking about? I don't care how far you away from God. God will put a Holy Ghost hound on you. And he, look, yes, sir, he'll get you. And this is what he told him. He fell out, and he fell off that horse. And the first thing he said, Lord, he said, Lord. And then Jesus Christ said, yeah, it is me. Why have you kicked against the pricks? He says, why are you going against the established order of God for your life? Why are you going in the opposite direction? Why are you doing your own thing? God loves us so much. He'll get you when your thing looking smooth. When you think you got it in control, look, you'll have a head-on collision, and it will be the Lord. It will be the Lord to get you back on track. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, he didn't change his direction. He changed his purpose. He still went on to Damascus. Amen. But he changed his purpose in his life. Not his direction, but his purpose. And so many of us, we need to make sure our purpose is under control. Because the reason why you're living and breathing and living for God, I'm telling you, the number one reason is to win souls. Oh, I got done. I'm sorry. News bulletin. Alert. Emergency warning system. Your life, you are here and living and breathing today because God has called and ordained you to win souls. If he won your soul, he wants some more souls to be won. And so Paul said, I'm not doing this for my glory. I'm doing it for his story. Amen. For his story, the history of my life in him. I'm doing it because I'm excited about what he has done for me. And he has called me. He has made me. That's how Paul said. Paul said, I was made an able minister. And he put me into the ministry. I wasn't looking for this thing.
This ain't what I know. I wasn't looking for this. No, I was in the military, man. I was going to be a general in the army. I was well on my way doing what I wanted to do. Had a got a pretty wife. Had a pretty wife. Got one now. Had a pretty car. Had a pretty house. Had all that stuff going on. Then I had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. On the way to work one morning, George, coming from work one morning, the Holy Ghost came up in my car. Amen. Had a little slick BMW, boy. Woo, God knows. I bought that from Europe. I was cruising, man. And boy, he come up in my car and he told me, he said, now, he showed me what I was doing. But what he showed me was what I was doing that I was going to do for the Lord. And I was in the military as a company commander overseeing troops. And so and Pastor Angela was kind of like the first lady of the unit. And I, you know, I was saved, but I ain't had no thoughts about preaching, you know, doing this thing, preaching, doing the church thing. And nah, that wasn't in my resume. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a general in the army, retire, had about $6,000 a month, you know, about 42, 43. And we just going to travel the world. That was the plan. Yeah, it got changed. Now I'm standing in Cincinnati, 18 years later. Hallelujah. And I thank God for it. But what I'm saying unto you, that you, all of each and every one of you, if you know the Lord, you will have an encounter with him. Yes, sir. You're going to have that collision like Paul had. You're going to have that collision like the woman at the well had. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have your collision with the Lord. And when you have that collision, he's going to reveal unto you what he has called you to do. And I'm here to tell you, the number one thing that he's calling you to do is to win souls. But you got to have a burden to do this thing. You got to have a burden to do this thing. And Paul says, I'm not doing this for the glory. I have nothing to glory of. He says, for necessity is laid upon me. He said, boy, this is, you see necessity, you see the word necessary. It's necessary that necessity has been laid upon me. It's necessary that I do this thing, that I do what? Preach the gospel. This is the burden. This is the burden of soul winning that I got to preach the gospel. He says, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. I think it's one of, in the Old Testament, one of the prophets says that. He says, the word is like fire set up in my bones. This word will get down in you and it's going to have to come out. Amen. It's going to have to come out. You get into the word for yourself. Open up your own Bible. Read your own Bible. And I'm telling you, this word will get up on you. You're going to have to tell somebody. You're going to have to call somebody. Facebook somebody. Twitter somebody. Talk to somebody on your job. You're going to have to tell somebody about the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot read this thing because the first thing it's going to do is examine you. And then after he get through with you, you're going to say, boy, this is so good. I've taken a licking and I'm still ticking. I'm going to take, this has been so good. Now I got to go give it to everybody that I know. That's what happened with Peter. When his boat got full, he did it his own way. Then Jesus Christ said, let's go out to the deep, let down your net. He said, but we tore it all night, but nevertheless, at thy what? Word, I let down the net. The Bible says fish come in there that the hole that his net tore, amen. And the boat began to sink and it said what? He called on his partners. He called on everyone else. And those partners, James and John, when he said, Peter, you gonna follow me? He told James and John, come on, they went too. They went too because of what God done in Simon Peter's life. And what I'm saying to you, he'll do a work in your life. You get in that word, you cannot help but to tell someone else. You know, there's a scripture that says that how Jesus was walking with the disciples. And it says that when they didn't know who he was until he broke down and had communion. But then they said, when he opened up the scriptures, did not our hearts burn? When you open up these scriptures, your heart going to burn, not only for your life, but for somebody else. When he get through doing a work on you, man, you got to say, oh, my God, I got to take this and share this with someone else. See, this thing has to become a burden. The burden of soul winning is preaching the gospel. Somebody say, preach the gospel. Oh, yeah, you got to preach the gospel. Say, I got to preach the gospel. So let's go on a little further here. We see, he says, preach the gospel. This word, preach the gospel, it talks about announcing good news. There's a lot of bad news going on out there in the world, isn't it? Amen. People need to hear some good news. Now, one of the things my pastor taught me some years ago, and I'm learning more and more, that, see, today I don't need to sit up here and talk about people's sin. You know what I'm saying? Because the more I talk about a person's sin, the more they're going to sin. You know what I'm saying? But I need to talk to them about the solution of their sin. Amen. Jesus Christ said, if I be high lifted up, I'll what? Draw all men nigh unto you. See, they need the solution for their sin. We just keep telling them, you're doing wrong, you're doing this, that, and the other. But no, what they really need is Jesus. And so we must lift Jesus up when we preach the gospel, we preach the good news, because they already know the bad, because we know sin ain't nothing good about sin. You know, it's not enjoyable or pleasure, but if it is, it's only for a moment. You know what I'm saying? And then so they're going to already be down. When I came to church to give my life to the Lord, nobody didn't even have to preach a message. I walked in the door ready to give my life to the Lord. I was toe up from the floor up. Although it looked right on the outside, I was toe up all in my spirit, all in my soul, man. I came to church ready to give. I mean, look, I was just waiting for them to do something, to say, come to some altar, to do anything. I was ready when I came into the house. So every time I know not through that experience, if I see somebody to come to the house of the Lord, even if it's their first time, they may be just as ripe and ready to come to the Lord no sooner they walk through that door. And all they need to hear is about the goodness of God. They need to hear that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, just like I knew he was mine. And all they need to do is they want to accept. We had a young lady last week that came to the Lord. And this young lady, she came to the altar. Did she not, Pastor Anna? She come to the altar. And I could tell the whole message. She was, boy, I'm telling boy, something up on her today. She is engaged in. When she came to the altar last week, I said, how you doing? She says, this is what she says, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. She says, I'm ready. She was ready to give her life to the Lord. Man, I'm telling her, I didn't need to give her no 3 points, no this, that, and the other. She says, I'm ready. I had to slow it down because I wanted to make sure that she know what she was doing. But she was ready. Just like you this morning, you were ready. You said, I'm not going to let anything hold me back. I don't care. Look, I don't care what anybody else thinking. I'm coming up here to this altar. See, and this is how soul winning has to be. It has to become a burden to you, because he's going to lay some necessity up on you, amen, so that you got to know it's necessary that people get saved. It's necessary that your neighbor get saved. It's necessary that your family member get saved. It's necessary that your children get saved. Your boss get saved. The whole plant get saved. Wherever you work at, it's necessary. Amen. I don't care where they're at. The cashier at UDF is necessary that they get saved. Wherever you're going, wherever you're going to eat today, it's necessary that they all need to be saved. And he'll put a necessity up upon you. I'm talking about something that you can't shake. I'm talking about something that you can't put on and put off when you want to. Something that's just going to stay on you. Amen. And this is what we want. So we see to preach the gospel here. He says, now preach the gospel. And this is the good news. Turn with me. Hold your place here. We're coming right back. Turn with me. Go to your left and go over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We're talking about preach the gospel. We're talking about the burden of soul winning. The burden of soul winning is to preach the gospel. I want you to see Paul here. Paul's desire here was to get to Rome. He was going over to Rome. He wants to preach the gospel. This is the letter that he wrote to the Romans here. And I want you to see this, because I want you to understand Paul had a burden for winning souls. And this same burden, because he was a disciple of the Lord, he didn't run with the main of disciples, but he was a disciple. He became a child of the Most High God, and he became a disciple, a servant, and a son, and an apostle. He continued to mature in the things of God. And now, look at 1:1. It says, Paul, somebody say a servant. Before you become anything else, you got to be a servant. Amen. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be what? An apostle. He said, now I was called. He said, I'm a servant of Jesus. No matter what you do, no matter what title you get, you're going to always be a servant. Say a servant. Amen. See, because you can't become a friend unless you're a servant. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. Amen. My God. But you can't become a friend unless you're a servant. Amen. But he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Say what? Separated unto the gospel. You hear that? He says, separated unto what? The gospel of God. What I'm telling you, when you come to the Lord, you get separated. Separated to what? To the gospel. Because your life becomes about what? The gospel. The good news. After I get saved, I get separated unto the gospel, to the good news. I don't care. Everybody can have a bunch of bad news, but I got some good news.
Because I've been separated unto good news now. Because I'm a servant, amen, of the Most High God. Look, pick up where we're going to go here. Look at verse 14. First, I was just going to hit verse 16, but we're in the neighborhood. Amen. Oh, my God. Look at verse 11. I mean, these scriptures. Listen to his heart. He says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some what? Spiritual gift to the end that you may be what? Established. Established in what? Not in him. In who? In Christ. This was a burden to him. He says, man, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Look down at verse 12. That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led here hitherto. He says that I might have what? Some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentile. So we know that Paul here, he was sent to the Gentile. Somebody say, I've been called to a people. Now Jesus Christ told his disciples, he said, now before you go to Jerusalem and receive the power. He said, now when you go over there, the Bible says they went over there and they waited, did they not, in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came and they became and it gave them power. Somebody say power. It was dunamis power. And we said dunamis is the word where we get the word dynamite. So he don't come to blow you up. He come to blow the Jesus up on the inside of you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So you've been separated to the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus. Amen. They need to hear about Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comes now to not just not just seal you, but he does what? I don't need to go to that story again. I'm not going to go there. But not only does he seal you when you get saved, but the Holy Ghost fills you. But he feels you. He says, now, when you've received this power, go into what? Be my witnesses. You're going to get this power to be my witnesses unto what? Judea, Samaria, what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and what? The uttermost parts of the world. So you see, he had a burden to do what? To go to the uttermost parts of the world. This is the burden that we have. The burden is to preach the gospel. Where at, Pastor? Everywhere I go. People need to be saved. We, you know, one thing we say in this house, we want to transform lives and communities. The only way a community is going to get transformed is a life get transformed. One soul at a time. The Bible says that when one person, like last week, see, we got to get a burden for soul. When that young lady came down last week, I like to start crying in time. We got to get a burden for soul. We got to get excited when people come to Jesus. Now that when people come to Jesus, we're like, oh, yeah. Now, do you know something? Get ready to change in their lives. We got to be excited. The Bible says all of heaven get excited over one soul, one person that comes to the Lord. If all of heaven is getting excited, what you think we need to be doing in the earth? We need to be excited because we're going to have some problems up there if we can't get excited about nobody getting saved down here, because they're getting excited over one soul. All of heaven gets excited over one soul that comes unto the Lord. And Paul going to show you, this is how we're going to end today when we get there. Amen. We're not there yet, but when we get there, he's going to say, my reward. You know what his reward is? His reward was the joy that he's seen of people coming to the Lord. That's the reward for preaching the gospel. It ain't that I'm going to get paid. This is what Paul talked about over in 1 Corinthians. He's talked about, look, the necessity of self-denial. Y'all ain't got to pump, push, and pull me. And I ain't got to be, you ain't got to be putting no money in my hand to save no soul to preach this gospel. See, some preachers are controlled by the money. No, I'm going to preach the good news up in this house. You know what I'm saying? People are going to get saved. Amen. We ain't skirting around anything. Amen. And ain't nobody got me. And I'm up under the control of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even my wife ain't even got me under control. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. She got influence, though. Yeah, she got influence. She got major influence. I just want to make sure Pastor Andrew won't sleep. But what I'm saying is that we are up under the power and the influence. Pastor Angela, I am all of us. When you get saved, you come up under the influence and the power of your life. It's not your own. That's what the word said. Yes. Your life is not my own. I was purchased and bought with a price. When I was yet a sinner, he commended his love towards me and gave his only begotten son for me.
Not for all of y'all, but I got to personalize this thing. He did it for me. And if he did that for me, what am I supposed to do for him? I'm laying it all to the side. What you want me to do, Lord? I'm doing it for you. Do me, Lord. Amen. Do me so I can do there. Amen. I want to do what you called me to do, Lord. So we look here, look down at verse 14. You're in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. He says, I am a debtor. That word debtor is, I mean, I owe somebody. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to do what? Peace to God. My God. He said, I'm in debt. I'm in debt to that person out there. I owe them something. What I owe them? I owe them the gospel. I owe them. I owe them the benefit of preaching the word unto them because they need to meet a living Savior just like I met them. He says, I'm in debt unto them. You know, Paul was what I call the gospel globetrotter. He went everywhere. Wherever the Lord would send him, man, he went near and far to preach the gospel. And this is what God is calling us to do. That wherever we go and whatever we're doing, whatever realm, whatever sphere that he puts you in, that he gives you influence in, you're there for a reason, not just to punch that ticket and make that money for the week. You're there, amen, to let your light shine. So you could be like a city set upon the hill. That people could see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People need to see Jesus. People need to see light because they're living in darkness. And we are a part. We know what that marvelous light is. And if you're living, amen, I'm telling you, if you're living what you believe, I'm telling you, if you believe it, conceive it, I'm telling you, you can receive it. And if you're receiving, I'm telling you, just like a light bulb, you're walking out there, people see you shining. People see you got a pep in your step. Even though everybody down, you still up. Amen. At my job, people say, why are you so happy? Oh, thanks for asking here. You done opened up the door now. Do you have about 15 minutes? Amen. I'm going to tell you why I'm happy. Yeah, if you ask me, I'm happy and I know it. Yes, I'm happy, all right, amen. And my happiness, that's the word happenstance, which connected to circumstance. My happiness has nothing to do with my circumstances. You know what I'm saying? I got a joy, unspeakable, what? And full of glory, amen. It ain't got nothing to do with my bills or my thrills or the frills or any of that. It has everything to do with what he done for me. You know what I'm saying? Has everything to do with it. I just get excited about this thing, man. I'm telling you, it's so good to live for the Lord. Amen. And Paul had this encounter with God that he says, man, I'm dropping everything. I'm going everywhere he wants me to go, and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm in debt. He said, I'm in debt to everybody. I'm in debt to the Greeks, the barbarian, the wise, and the unwise. I'm in debt to everyone, amen? And what they need, the Bible says what? This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, owe no man anything, amen? But the continuous what? Debt of love. That's part of my confession. I owe no man anything but the continuing debt of love. I owe them love because that's what the world needs. That's what our families need. That's what everybody needs, the love of God in their lives. Amen. Bear with me. We're going somewhere here. So I say I got to preach the gospel. So look what he says in verse 15. He says, so as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you what that are at what? Rome also. What he's saying is I'm trying to get over there. I'm writing y'all loves, but I'm trying to get over there. I'm trying to get that gospel over here to y'all guys. I'm trying to get there. And he's being held up and he's being hindered in many ways here. Let me say this to you. When we think about that they need Jesus and we understand Jesus is what? Our shepherd. And y'all guys, the folks in this house, you understand this and you already know this. And I'm not going to dwell on it long. But this is what people need, just like we need. They need to know that Jesus Christ is their good shepherd. You know what I'm saying? That he is my good shepherd. He is. David understood this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They need to know that he is their good shepherd. And we understand as the good shepherd, he says, the good shepherd give his life for his sheep. Amen. Amen? That's what a good shepherd, he give his life for his sheep. The other thing that we found out about the good shepherd is this. He says, the thief come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I come to give you what? Life and what? Life more abundantly. So what do the people out there need? They need what? Somebody say life. So they need the shepherd. They need the good shepherd. But not only is he the good shepherd, he is what? The great shepherd. They need to know him as a great shepherd. And the word talks about him, the great shepherd. And in the great shepherd, he gives them the ability to establish them. So not only do they need to know him as the good shepherd, someone that can save them, amen, but they need to know him as the great shepherd. But ultimately, they need to know him as the chief shepherd, who's going to award and going to affirm them. He's the bishop of our souls. And when he comes back, he's going to give them the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing, the different crown. He's going to award and affirm us for what we've done for him while we're here. Now, I always taught you in the house that our inheritance is that we're going to heaven. But your reward is a whole different thing. I'm going to heaven. I got saved. That's my inheritance. I inherited salvation when I got saved, but I don't have anything to do with your reward. No, it's about what you do on down here or what your reward going to look like. Amen. And all of us going to get some that crown of rejoicing. That's the soul winner's crown, the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing. All the crowns are in the world. You're going to get a crown for how you done it. And you know what we're going to do? Just like the angels, just like the elders, we're going to do what? Take them crowns off and lay them at the feet of Jesus and worship him. Amen. But I don't know about you. At least I want to have one on my head. I want to get my crown. You hear them? I don't know about y'all. I don't know. I want to get my crown. So whatever I need to do down here, amen, I want to make sure that I'm going to receive my crown. I'm going to receive my crown. And so this is what they need. They need the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Turn back over to the text. 1 Corinthians. Now, next week, we're dealing with the burden. Next week, we're going to deal with the behavior of a soul winner. Amen? And so we're going to deal with the behavior. What is a soul winner supposed to be like? What they acting like? What they doing? Amen? But we're going to deal with this burden here, and I'm going to be coming to a close here shortly. Now, you see this word necessity. He says, for necessity is laid upon me. We said it was necessary, right? We understand that it's like a distress, a must needs. You know what I'm saying? It's something that's on the inside of you that's causing you. It's a necessity. It's needful that I do this. It's needful. And this is what soul winning is all about. The burden of soul winning is preaching the gospel. It's a necessity that is laid up upon me to do this. Now, he says, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. We also see that. Now, let me deal with this word burden, because it's not a word that's in the text, but this necessity that is laid upon me, this is where the burden comes. It's a burden. It's a load that is put on me. But he says necessity is laid upon me. And although it's a blessing to preach the gospel, there's also a burden. It's not a bad burden, though. It's a burden that it's necessary for me to carry this load in my life so that I can do what he called me to do. And he called me to preach his gospel. And that's why he puts this necessity is laid up upon me here. Now this word burden has to deal with, I want to deal like the burden of leadership and the burden of parenting. I've already kind of alluded to these, but I want to share this before we hit verse 17 and 18 and get out of here. This whole thing about the burden of leadership and the burden of parenting here, because I want you, if I give you something in the natural, it will help you to understand what we're talking about in the spirit of having this burden. And I've said already from the children's side of it that how when you are blessed to be a parent, that there is a blessing and a burden. You don't really know it yet. And this is why I'm saying that necessity is laid up upon you so you can carry on when you don't want to carry on. When you're ready to give up, when you're ready to give in, when you say, boy, who wants this kid? You know, I mean, when you're ready to do all that, this necessity is laid up upon you. And see, and what you must understand, this is something that you've been called to. You were called to be a parent. You were called to be this. You were called to be a soul winner. You were commissioned. This is how the Bible says. The Bible says that he told them. The Bible says that he ordained them. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. That's what he told his disciples. You didn't choose. That's what I'm saying to you. You this ain't a thing about, well, I'm going to make my mind. If you saved, you already been chosen. Chosen to do what? You've been chosen. He says, first of all, you've been ordained to be with me. And then in another scripture, he talks about that I chose you. You didn't choose me. He said, you've been ordained to be with me. And then he tells her, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Then he says, not only that, he says, the Father desire for you to bear fruit. Much fruit and more fruit. Amen. He wants you to bear fruit. Amen. What's the fruit? The fruit, amen, is winning souls. Amen. That's the fruit. That's the fruit we're bringing in. Amen. We got to bring some fruit to the house. Amen. That's the winning soul. So we think about this. I want us to understand in the natural as being a parent with a child and that how God has graced you to raise those children up. You got three, right? You got three of them. And I see, I say, Lord, she is grace. They good kids, though. You got good kids. But I know every now and then they act out, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. Amen. But she has been graced to do that, to have these kids. And God is gracing all of us. If you got kids, he has graced you to do this. It wasn't that, well, I'm ready to have kids. Yeah, right. No, ain't nothing. You don't plan with this happening and all of that. It happens. And God gives you a kid, a child, to bring up in the ways and the admonition of the Lord because he has a plan for them. Now, let me give it to you in another way. The gift of leadership. Say you were given the burden of leadership. Now, you say you were given the burden of leadership. Now, some folks think, being the leader, man, that's what it's all about. Being the leader on top is all about. But there's a lot of people in here. You can raise your hand and say, I don't want to be no leader of anything. I don't want to be no manager, supervisor, team lead. I ain't want to be any of that. They can have that. People always tell me, I don't want your job. You can have them headaches. See, but what they don't understand that for a leader, see, there is a blessing to be a leader, but that's a burden with being a leader too. I mean, that's a burden. They call people. And most of the time when a person is leading something, they're leading people. They're dealing, one of the main things that they're dealing with is the temperament. You got all these people, that all different attitudes and mindset. And I'm not talking about church here. I'm on my job, amen? But they in the church too. Yeah. They in the church too. All kind of attitudes and mindsets and I want to do it. This way. I hear the Lord saying this, that, and the other. But that's why you got to be the leader and understand as the leader, when you are a leader, this is what you understand. A necessity has been laid upon you. Because being a leader is a blessing, but it's also a burden. It's a burden. But there's something laid up upon you to do it. And that which is laid up upon you is the thing that's going to tell you to keep on when you want to quit. When you want to quit parenting, quit mothering, quit wifing. I'm tired of this mess. See, but you were ordained to be married. You hear what I'm saying? Can't everybody be married? Can't everybody raise kids? But you ordained. God knows the timing and the season that he does what he does. But there is a necessity that is laid up on you to handle that. And it's the same thing with preaching the gospel. Some of you might say, well, that's for somebody else to preach the gospel. We've already proved. If you're saved and been born again, that's you. It's me. It's all of us. It's not the preacher's thing to preach the gospel. It's for all of us to preach the gospel. All of us got to. There must be a burden on the inside of us that says, I got to go share the good news with someone. I got to do it. I got to do it. We're going to close right here. Look down at verse 17. This is where we're going to close. Verse 17 and 18, I promise you. We're going to close there. I got to find my glasses. I put them up, put them back out. You know, yeah. Here they go. Yeah, I get like one of these fancy preachers had me a reader over there with on a stand with the Bible up and read. I don't even know what the church coming to nowadays, man. Preacher so deep he can't even read no more. Read. It's happening. It is happening. I could see if he was blind, but. Oh my God. Let's finish this up. Yeah, that's right. Oh, Father God. Look what he says. He says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Look what he says in verse 18. What is my reward then? You see what he says? What is my reward then? Now look what he says. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Mm-hmm. And then he says, well, what is my reward then? Mm-hmm. Well, obviously he won't doing it willingly. Because he said, well, what is my reward? He says, if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But he says, if I do this against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. It's just what I just got through telling you about. What he's saying is, I don't have a choice in doing this. If I will to do it, I'm rewarded. If I don't do it, if I will to do it, I'm rewarded. If I don't do it, a dispensation has been given unto me. What he says, I've been commissioned to do this thing, whether I want to do it or not, whether I feel like doing it or not. He says, look, now, if I do it voluntarily or willingly, I got a reward. But if I don't, a dispensation has been given unto me. What he's saying, I've been commissioned to do this thing. I was born to preach the gospel. I was born to tell people about Jesus. And this is what he's saying right there. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying this disposition is a sacred trust and a commission that he had no choice in. What you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is you ain't have no choice to be a parent. You may think you had a choice. Now, God ordained you from the beginning of the time to have some children and to rear them up in the ways of the Lord. He ordained you from the beginning of the time to be a leader on your job. I won't plan on being no leader, man. I was just wondering. When I was coming up in high school, I just wanted to fit in the group. And then he messed around. I went to the army. And the army messed me up. Amen. And then I become a leader. Somehow I became a leader. And it's something that I don't, matter of fact, I don't even prefer to be a leader. You know what I'm saying? But this thing was laid, the necessity was laid upon me to be one. I'm not saying that I'm a good leader. Because, see, I can only lead as I'm being led. You got to watch out for those that know they are leader. I do this thing. I've been called. I'm the righteous right reverend, and you can't tell me what to do. Yeah, that's the ones you better watch out for right there. See, because their righteousness is in their own eyes. Amen. And the Bible says our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Amen. We ain't got no righteousness of ourselves. Our righteousness comes from Jesus. It's going to begin with him and it's going to end with him. You ain't going to never be right by yourself. Amen. Your righteousness is in Jesus Christ. And the only way other people going to get right, they got to hear about the Jesus that made you right. Oh my God. I'm right because he right. And I'm down with him. Amen. I'm with him. Amen. I'm joint heirs with Christ. Amen. He is my elder brother, amen. He is my Lord, he is my Savior, he is my elder brother, amen. And the only way I can get to God, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the daddy, till to the father, except he come by me. Oh, so I got to be with Jesus if I'm going to see the Father. You know what I'm saying? And this is what people need. People need the Father. But the only way they're going to get the daddy, amen, because their daddy might have abandoned them. Their daddy or mama didn't do what they were supposed to do. And what most people are hurting for is a void in their life. Somebody won't in my life. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that there is a God that we know and I know. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's the hookup they need. But they got to get with Jesus first. And when they get with Jesus, they will meet the Father. And that's what people need. They need the Father. Now, let's close here. Look at verse 18. This is where we're going out right here. He says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Let me read this from the Living Bible. It says this. He says, under this circumstance, what is my pay? It is the special joy I get from preaching the good news without expense to anyone, never demanding my rights. See, the reward that we get, church, at seeing is the special joy that we see when we preach the gospel. I'm talking about, look, for no other reason, this is the joy that we receive. For no other reason is the joy of seeing somebody come to Jesus. Oh my God. For no other reason. I don't do this for no other reason. Not for the money. Not for, I don't do this. Look, like I tell you, I could be doing a whole lot more things with the talents and the gifts that I got, I can be doing a whole lot more things. But I'm doing, amen. I'm sorry, a disposition of this thing was put on me. I have no other choice. If they lock me up in Hamilton County, guess what? I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm telling you, in the times we living in right now, this is about to be one of the only places that you can talk about Jesus. Because they about ready to lock you down out there. They about ready to lock you down out there, amen. So we better get this thing in our heart, amen. And no matter where I'm at, amen, I'll be like Paul and Silas. We'll be in the prison. We sharing the word up in this place. The angel going to come through and bust up the door, and we going to walk on out there and go back and do what? Preaching some more. Preaching some more. Preaching some more. I want you to leave out of here saying, I got to preach the gospel. I got to preach the gospel. You got to. I'm here to tell you, your life won't be fulfilled if you don't. If you are a child of God, you can't live on this planet, amen, and not share the good news with somebody else. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, you can't do it. You cannot do it. You cannot live life and say, oh, no, just me and my family, me and my foe, and no more, and we're going to do. Nah, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Come on up, praise and worship. We're going to close with something here, amen.